Welcome everyone to our worship service here in Karatz today, and special welcome to those who are visiting with us. Announcements for the week ahead and a bit beyond. Tonight there's prayer time at 10 past 7, and then the evening worship service at 7:30. There was to have been a praise service in Glenmanus on Tuesday evening of this week, but that has been postponed. That's because of a lot of people in Glenmanus having contracted COVID. And that's something I also managed to contract on my holidays. About 3 days into my holidays, I came down with COVID and then managed to pass it on to Jennifer and to Stuart and to Aaron. So if I'm coughing and spluttering a bit, it's just the after effects of COVID. I'm a long time beyond being infectious. Next Lord's Day, I hope to be here for the worship services. There is a church walk that we hope to have on Tuesday the 26th of July at Port Ballantrae, and say something more about that next week. There's a Northern Presbytery meeting then on Wednesday the 27th of July, that's at 7:30 in Ballymoney, and that's a special one-off meeting to deal with an issue in Ballymoney Church. I'm due to be in Galway the last day of July, and Paul Flynn is to be here for the morning and evening worship services. We have a prayer meeting for the Discovery and Adventure Camps, which are on end of July, beginning of August. That's Tuesday the 2nd of August. And then a bit further ahead, hope to have a church barbecue on Friday the 19th of August, and our church picnic on the Lord's Day of the 28th of August. That will be after the morning service. And then we'll have an afternoon service instead of the evening service. Then there's a new announcement about the Young Adults Weekend, which hasn't happened the last couple of years, and that's happening again this year, Friday the 2nd of September to the 4th of September. It's at the normal venue, Mullerton House in Annalong. Speaker Joel Lockridge on the topic of renewal, rejoicing, and rest. And for booking information, it's at the Young Adults Weekend website, also Instagram and Facebook pages. So those are the announcements, and we come now to join in the worship of God, and we do so singing praise to Him from Psalm 135. Psalm 135. We sing the first six stanzas of this psalm, and the tune is Ombersley, number 23. So Psalm 135. It's a psalm that calls upon us to bring our praise to the Lord. O praise the Lord's name praise. You servants of the Lord, Him praise. Who in the Lord's house there do stand within the courts of our God's house. Why should we praise Him? Well, among other things, stanza 3 tells us, because I know the Lord is great, our Lord, above all gods He is. The Lord does what He pleases in the heavens and earth, all deeps and seas. And we come to worship a mighty God who does as He pleases, and what pleases Him is always what is good. And so let us unite in singing the praises of our great God. First six stanzas of Psalm 135, the tune 23. We stand to sing and then remain standing for prayer. Let us worship God.
Within the courts of our God's house.
Now we speak to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we draw near in worship today, we give thanks for this Lord's Day. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come and sing your praises, to look to you in our prayers, to hear what you would say to us in your word. We ask, Lord, that you will help us as we seek to worship you today. We pray that you will help us, O Lord, to be reminded of the greatness of our God, that you alone are the one who is worthy of our worship. And we thank you, Lord, for your great saving purposes throughout the earth. We praise you for that plan you have for all that will take place across the face of the earth and across all the ages of time. We rejoice that nothing can stand in the way of what you have purposed. And we praise you that your purpose is a great saving purpose. We thank you for that vast multitude that no one can count, who will be your people forever, with whom you will dwell, and who will gladly declare your praises. We ask, Lord, for your forgiveness for our sins. We acknowledge, O Lord, that we are unworthy to come into your presence, and we do not come in our own worth, but we claim that of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior that you have provided, so that we might be able to come boldly before you. Hear us, O Lord, and help us in this time of worship. Work among us by your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us read together in God's word. If you turn, please, to the book of Psalms. I want to read today from chapter 135 of the book of Psalms. Page 553 is where it's found in our church Bible. Psalm 135. We've sung some words from this psalm, and we'll sing the rest of the psalm later in our service. And this is the portion of scripture that I want to speak on from God's word today. So Psalm 135, and reading the whole psalm, this is God's word. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. He destroyed the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. He sent signs and wonders into the midst of you, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and all his servants. He defeated many nations and slew mighty kings: Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his people. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And so reads God's own true word. I was going to say a few words to children who are here today. I don't see any children, but I'll speak to the older children anyway. I usually say something after being away on holidays about something that has happened when I've been away on holidays. And a couple of unexpected things happened on the holiday break that I've had over the last few weeks. Immediately after Erin finished her GCSE exams, we flew off on holiday, a family holiday, to the Spanish island of Mallorca. And on the Sabbath day when we were on the island, we went to a little English-speaking Anglican church that we'd been told about. And we were told it was beside Burger King, so that made it easy to find. And we walked there in the heat of the sunshine on the Sabbath morning, and found a place to sit. And the minister came out in his white robes with a green something that I can't think what the word of it is, but a green thing that comes down both sides. And he had sandals on his feet. And he opened his mouth and he spoke with a Northern Irish accent. And his name was Bill, and he was from Coleraine. Of course, we were talking to him afterwards about different places and different people. And that was a surprise, finding a minister from Coleraine up in the northeast corner of Mallorca in a small holiday resort there. And then after we came back from Mallorca, Erin went off to senior camp, and Jennifer and I were able to go to Jersey for a few days. We were 4 days in Jersey, a place we'd never been to before. And we were both recovering from the after effects of COVID and weren't up to anything too energetic. And we hired some e-bikes, or sort of very heavy e-bikes they were. And we went off exploring on the island of Jersey. And we cycled to the southwest corner of the island, where there's a lovely lighthouse just on a little island out to sea. And it was hot and sunny, and we stopped for an ice cream and just had a wee look around the scenery at that part. And while we were having our ice cream, we happened to hear folk nearby, and there was a Northern Irish accent that we heard. But we finished our ice creams and headed up the road. And about 15 minutes later, we were stopped at a junction, wondering whether we took the cycle path to the left or the road to the right. And as I was stopped there, a man came up on his bike, and he stopped as well. And I asked him, did he know which way to go to where I wanted to go to? And within a few seconds of him speaking to me, I realized, I know that voice. I didn't recognize the man, but it was my doctor, Dr. David Hutchison from Ballymoney, who was in my class in Limavady Grammar School for the first 3 years. And I wasn't expecting to see him, and then his wife trundled along as well, and we stopped and chatted to them for 15 minutes and compared our different experiences of suffering from COVID. And he confirmed that we were in the best place to be recovering from COVID, far better in the sunshine of Jersey than back home in the gloom of Ballymoney. And so we felt good that our doctor was approving of what we were doing. And this was the same person that I had seen 15 minutes earlier and hadn't recognized him at all. And I was within a few meters of him, and I had heard his voice, but I didn't recognize the voice. But then 15 minutes later, just within a few words, I realized I know who that is. And he laughed that here he was meeting his patients out in the remote corner of Jersey. And it reminded me of how in the scriptures, after the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, he was sometimes with people and they didn't realize that they were in the presence of Jesus. They weren't expecting to see Jesus again. They didn't expect him to be there, and they just didn't take it in that this actually was Jesus who was with them, but it was. And people were with Jesus, and for a while they didn't realize that they were with Jesus. And I was with my doctor, and for a while I didn't realize that I was with him, and he didn't realize who I was either. But the Lord Jesus Christ promises everyone who follows him that he will be with us all the days. And that's a promise we can be sure of. Well, we're not going to see Jesus physically with us, but he is with his people all the days. There'll not be a single day that a Christian will go through in life when the Lord Jesus is not with that person. And we're not always going to be aware that he is with us, but he is with us. And that little incident, being with someone that I knew and not realizing that I was with someone that I knew, reminded me of the Lord Jesus and how it was with him after he rose from the dead. And it is a great promise of Jesus in his word when he says, I will be with you all the days. And we need to believe that what he says is true. Now we're going to sing and praise again, this time it's Psalm 145, and we use the A version of the psalm, singing the first five stanzas. These words remind us of the greatness of the Lord. You I'll exalt, my God, O King, and I will bless your name always. I'll bless you every single day, your name forever. I will praise. Stanzas 2 begins, great is the Lord, much to be praised. And stanza 4 finishes with the line, your greatness too I will declare. Stanza 5 begins, and of your goodness that is great. And our God is a great God, and he is much to be praised. And so let us join in singing his praises. We use the tune Warrington, number 37. We sing the first five stanzas of the psalm, and let us stand then as we sing praise to God.
Forever.
Now we've come to God in prayer and want to give thanks for the men who have been taking the worship services here in the last 3 weeks in my absence. I want to remember the Baracol family in Spain as they move from Rancon near Malaga to Seville, having to find a suitable house to move to and get all the schooling arrangements sorted for the children. And Seville is a very, very, very hot place at present. It was 42 degrees the other day in Seville. It's hot enough in Malaga, but it's even hotter in Seville normally. And we remember also our missionaries in Nantes in France. This is the last day that Stephen Neely is due to be taking the worship services in Nantes, and then Malcolm Ball is to be there the next couple of Lord's days. The arrangements for the building work, there were difficulties with the builder, and he just wasn't cooperating, and that the contract with that builder has been scrapped, and so a new builder is being sought. I'm not sure if that has been arranged as yet, but nothing would be happening until October at the earliest. So remember that situation. We pray for the upcoming Discovery and Adventure camps from the last Saturday in July through into the beginning of August. And I give thanks also for the senior camp that happened at the beginning of July. So we come to God in prayer, remembering these and other things in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, as we look to you in our prayers, we thank you, Lord, that we come to a God who understands fully every situation that we will bring before you. We thank you, Lord, that you're the God who knows the end from the beginning. You know what you have planned, and we rejoice, O Lord, that the things that concern us are not things that are outside of your control, but, O Lord, that you are the sovereign God, and we praise you for your mighty workings in small ways and in great ways. We give thanks for the work done in recent days by the GO team that's been serving with our Cookstown church, and we pray, Lord, for good things to come from that. We pray for that fellowship as they hope to become formally organized as a congregation in the autumn time, and we pray that you will build your church there in that place, that many others will come to benefit from worshiping with you and your people there. We pray, O Lord, for our country at this time in the political instability that is there. We pray for the leadership race for the Conservative Party leadership, and in terms of who will be the next Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. We pray, O Lord, that you will overrule in that, and we pray that you will work in the heart of the person who would be given that responsibility. We pray that they will not lean on their own understanding, but, O Lord, that they would take time to seek your wisdom and to listen to those who would speak to them from a perspective of the Christian scriptures. We pray, Lord, for your mercies in these days for people in different parts of the world suffering under the great heat that is coming up from the south. And, Lord, we pray for your mercies in all of that. We pray that those who are vulnerable will be able to take every precaution that they can. And we pray, O Lord, that this will pass without causing great harm to people. We give thanks, Lord, for the men who have been here in recent times taking the worship services, for the ministry of Blair McFarland and Tim Donaghy and Brian Dunwoody. We pray for these men as they preach in other places, that you will bless their ministry and that they would be encouraged in the different churches that they are able to serve in. We give thanks for the work of Senior Camp, and we praise you for the young folk who were able to be there at that, for the talks that Robert Robb gave, for the fellowship that was enjoyed, for your good work, and we thank you, Lord, that was able to go ahead this year. And we pray for the preparations being made for discovery and adventure camps. We pray, Lord, for all the young folk who'll be going along to those camps. Pray for the camp leaders, for the officers and for the cooks and the work that they will be busy with. And we pray for Sharon and for Grace and Lois and Ross and the work that they'll be doing. Pray also for our former members, Rebecca and Rachel, and their involvement in camp teams. And we pray for the camp leaders that you'll give them all they need, O Lord, for the different challenges. And pray in particular for the discovery camps, with it being a new thing to so many of the young folk who will be along at camp this year. We pray that you will use these events greatly for the good of all who will be involved. We pray for the missionary work in France and city of Nantes. We pray, Lord, for your blessing upon that work, that there will be encouragements, even with the disappointment of the building work being postponed. We pray that the new builder that will take this on will be someone who will be reliable, and that in the end will prove to be a great blessing. And we pray for your blessing upon the ministry of the men who are taking the services while Andrew Little is not preaching. We pray for Stephen Neely and for Malcolm Ball, that you help these men, and we pray that they will enjoy being there with the folk in Nantes. We pray also for the Barracals in Spain. We thank you for the decision made to accept the call from the church in Seville. And we pray for Isaac and for his wife and family as they look to that move and as they make arrangements for that. We pray that you will help them in all the practical aspects of that. And we pray that the folk in the church in Seville will be of much help, that they will be able to give good advice. And we pray that that relationship will build and develop, and that you will cause the gospel to go forth in that city of Seville in future times, that many will be brought to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we look to you, Lord, to extend your kingdom, to build your church and strengthen your cause. Hear our prayers for these things. We ask all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we look to God's word today as we have it in the book of Psalms. Psalm 135 is a portion of scripture that I want to speak on today. Speaking about praise to our good and great God. Psalm 135. A few weeks ago, on the first evening of our family holiday on the island of Mallorca, we went out for a meal at a restaurant that was just across the road from the apartment where we were staying on our holidays. And it advertised that they served the best paella in town. Now, I wasn't quite sure what town it referred to. There were only a few shops in that particular area, and I wasn't sure if it was it was referring to or the larger resort that was about 10 minutes walk away. But we thought we would give it a go anyway and eat something that is traditionally Spanish. And we had an option of a seafood paella or a meat paella or both, and we went for both. And so there was all sorts of stuff in this huge big pan that was there to serve five of us. And some of the things that were in there we recognized, and we at least thought we knew what that was that we were eating. There were other things we really weren't too sure about it at all as to what it was. But it's good to find familiar things. Familiar things are encouraging at times. Psalm 135 is full of familiar things. There's nothing in this psalm that you'll not find somewhere else in the Bible. Derek Kidner says that every verse of this psalm either echoes, quotes or is quoted by some other part of Scripture. So if, as we read through Psalm 135, you thought, well, that sounds familiar, well, it should sound familiar. Maybe those bits towards the end of the psalm about the idols of the nations, did they sound familiar? Well, we read them not too long ago in Psalm 115, almost exactly the same words. And that's what Psalm 135 is like. Every verse is echoing something that you find elsewhere in Scripture. And whether the bits elsewhere came first or whether Psalm 135 came first, well, we don't know for sure in some cases. Another writer, Alexander McLaren, invites us to think of Psalm 135 as being like a flower arrangement. And he says, the flowers are arranged in a new bouquet because the poet had long delighted in their fragrance. And you can think of it as here some things, some great truths, and they're gathered together into this special bouquet, this special arrangement. So I want to speak today about some of the familiar things that are brought together in Psalm 135, this particular arrangement of thoughts within this psalm. Eight different things I'll speak about. First of all, a call to praise the Lord. And the psalm begins much along the lines of what you have in the previous psalm, 134. It is a call to praise the Lord. And it's directed particularly to those who would be found in the courts of God's house. People who served in the temple courts, or people who lived close enough to the temple to be there in the temple courts, or people who would have stood there at the times of the annual feasts when people from all over Israel journeyed to the temple. All of them are called upon to praise the Lord. The temple itself existed for the Lord, and they are to praise the Lord for whom the temple existed. And again in the book of Psalms, this simple thought, this simple call to praise the Lord is something that we come across. It's not good to praise yourself. It is good to praise others, but the most fitting thing of all is to praise the Lord. Above all others, we are to praise Him. It is His praises that we are to sing, and in this psalm, we're reminded of some of the reasons why it is fitting that we should praise the Lord. So first of all, there is a call to praise the Lord. Then most of the psalm gives us reasons to praise the Lord. Second thing I'll speak about is that God is good. We should praise the Lord because the Lord is good. Verse 3 tells us, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Do you believe that the Lord is good? Some people don't. And I wonder, have you ever thought what a great thing it is to know that the Lord is good, to believe that the Lord is good, and to rejoice that the Lord is good? I don't think anyone will ever find peace in this life unless they believe that God is good. What a hopeless state we would all be in if God were not good. What hope would any of us ever have of heaven if the Lord Jesus Christ was not good? What if Jesus was just like us? What use would he be to us as a Savior if he was not good? We're to praise the Lord because the Lord is good. And we can praise the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is good in everything he is and everything he does. And his Father, who is good, is well pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you today, if you are blessed through Jesus having taken your sins away, if he has taken your bad record and he has given you instead his good record, well, then you should praise the Lord. That would be the right thing to do. Our Lord is good. And that truth needs to be at the heart of our thinking. Everything about the Lord is good. And he is the measuring standard by which we determine whether something is good or not. We live in times where many things are being redefined. Things that used to be thought of as being good are not seen as good now. And things that used to be thought of as not good are being brought forward as something that is good. How do you know what's good? Well, the Lord is good. And what ties in with the Lord is good. What is in accord with him is good. We are to praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. We're also to praise the Lord because God saves sinners. It's the third thing I want to speak about, is that God saves sinners. Verse 4 reminds us that he is the God who saves. The God that we should praise is the God who saves. It says, "For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure." And we're encouraged to think about one particular person in the Bible whom God made into a nation, Jacob. Was Jacob a good man? Well, no, he wasn't. Jacob wasn't a good man. Jacob was a schemer. Jacob was a cheat. Jacob was a liar. And yet, the Lord saved Jacob. He saved Jacob from himself. He saved Jacob from his sin. And the Lord chose to set his love upon Jacob. And in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul speaks about Jacob and his twin brother Esau. And Paul tells us that God's choice to save Jacob was made before Jacob had ever done anything. It was made before Jacob had even been born. And God chose to set his love upon Jacob, not because there was any good that God saw in Jacob. And this is what God does. God saves those who are not good. God chooses to set his love upon undeserving sinners. And God treats those people as his special treasure. God turned Jacob into a nation. He gave Jacob the name Israel, and he made Israel into a nation. And Jacob was God's special treasure. And that's how it is with everyone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would anyone love Jesus? Only because he first loved us. And for anyone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not just important to him, but rather you are his special treasure. And if that is you, if God has dealt with you as he dealt with Jacob, if he has made you his special treasure, well then you should praise the Lord. praise the Lord because he is good, because he saves sinners. And then fourth thing I want to say is that God is great in ruling his creation. Verses 5 to 7, we're called upon to praise God because of what we see of his greatness and how he rules over the created world. He is great, and he is above all gods. He is the God, the real God. Men, in their foolishness, imagine other gods. And they imagine other gods who rule over particular areas and particular departments. But it's a delusion. It's an invention of man. And equally deluded are those who refuse to see the true God in what he has made. And there's no place for God in their thoughts. That's delusion as well. If God is your God, then you should take heart from what we're taught here in this psalm. In the true God, there is no weakness, there is no feebleness, but rather we're told of him in verse 6 that whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. At Wimbledon this year, the Australian Nick Kyrgios managed to make it through to the final of Wimbledon. Didn't have to play the semi-final because his opponent wasn't able to play, but he got through to the final. One of the things that he did to ruffle feathers, as he likes to do, is that he wore red shoes and a red cap when he came onto centre court, took them off for the match, and then after the match was over, put them back on again. That was against the rules. And when he was asked why he did it, he said that he does what he pleases. He does what he wants to do. Well, he doesn't. He doesn't do what he wants to do. He does what he can get away with. And when he walked onto centre court for the final, he wanted to win, but he didn't. He doesn't do what he pleases. Only God does as he pleases. The things that please Nick Kyrgios, the things that might please us, might not be good things. But God does what he pleases, and what pleases him will always be good. And God does as he pleases. Here in focus in these three verses from 5 to 7 is God's control over the created world. God does whatever he wants with this world. Many people don't believe that today. They believe that the earth is a self-contained thing. There is no outside force that controls and acts upon it. The scriptures teach us something different from that. And even in these days when we're watching the weather forecast, wondering how high the temperatures are going to go in different parts of the land, let us remember that behind all the human explanations for why these things are happening is the sovereign working of Almighty God. He is always great. And in verse 7 it says, he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. All things are his. He controls it. He is great in his ruling over his creation. And we are to praise him for his greatness. Praise the Lord, for he is great in ruling his creation. Then the fifth thing I want to say is that God is great in ruling over the nations, verses 8 to 12. We're called upon to praise the Lord because he is the one who determines what happens in the nations of the earth and who rules in the nations of the earth. These verses focus upon the days of Moses, and how in the days of Moses God dealt a mighty blow to the Egyptians. They were the superpower of the day, but God acted against them. And we're told how God destroyed the firstborn, both of man and beast. How God sent signs and wonders into the midst of the Egyptians. We're told then of the conquest of Canaan and how all those nations that were within Canaan who had been provoking the Lord for centuries, and God reached the end of his tether with them. He'd had enough of them, and they were swept away. And God defeated many nations, and he slew mighty kings, we're told in verse 10. And then we're told that he gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his people. And so we're called upon to remember that in national and in international affairs, it is the Lord who sets rulers up and who brings them down. And earthly rulers can seem sometimes as if they have a very strong grip upon power. And people can't imagine how they're ever going to be shifted or however that regime is ever going to come to an end. Other times, they don't look very safe at all. And in recent times, there have been significant changes in Australia, in Sri Lanka, in Italy, and in the United Kingdom. When I went away on holidays, Boris Johnson was the leader of the Conservative Party, but he wasn't for much longer. And everything changes in a very short time. Only God is great. Only God rules forever. God gives, God takes away. And as God does that across the nations of the earth, across the peoples of the earth, he is always remembering his special treasure. And God's people now are not one nation, but they're scattered across all nations. And as God controls things within nations, he is always remembering his special treasure. God remembers his people in North Korea, in China, wherever it might be. He remembers. They are his special treasure. And he will deal with the rulers of the earth as he did in the days of the mighty pharaohs. So we are to praise the Lord because he is great in ruling over the nations. And we don't need to worry about the long-term future of any particular nation, because God is great. The sixth thing that I mentioned then is God's enduring greatness, verses 13 and 14. We're invited to praise the Lord for his enduring greatness. Some people are great for a while, and then they're no longer great. The British Open Golf is on at present, and Tiger Woods has been walking the fairways of St. Andrews in Scotland, where he won the British Open on two previous occasions. But he wasn't there yesterday walking those fairways because he didn't make the cut. A formerly great golfer has been overtaken by many presently great golfers. But God is not like that. And we're assured in these verses that his name and his fame are undiminished. They will endure forever. They will endure throughout all generations. And the God who was there for his people in the days of Moses all those centuries ago, he's still there for his people in 2022, and he always will be. He will be there for his people all the days. And we can be confident in what God will do for his people. What it says in verse 14, for the Lord will judge his people, or the Lord, it means the Lord will vindicate his people, and he will have compassion on his servants. The good compassion of God will always shine through. God's people in many parts of the world are conscious of the dark clouds that loom over them. But the vindication and the compassion of God will shine through those dark clouds, and the warmth of God will be felt by his people. And God assures his people that his name and his fame endures forever, and that he will vindicate his people, that he will have compassion on his servants. And so he is to be praised. We're to praise the Lord for his enduring greatness. Seventh thing that this psalm speaks to us about is alternative gods. Verses 15 to 18 call upon us surely to be thankful that we are not worshippers of some other god than the God that is spoken of here in this psalm. Because whatever that other god might be, it would prove to be utterly useless. And the idols that the nations surrounding Israel, the idols that they used in the worship of their imaginary gods, they were in one way a fair representation of their gods. Because just as the idol couldn't speak, the idol couldn't see, the idol couldn't hear, and the idol couldn't breathe, so it was with the false god. The gods people believed in were senseless and the people who believed in them were also senseless. Those gods didn't have any senses, and the people who worshipped them didn't have any sense in worshipping them. And those who make senseless idols are themselves senseless. That's what the psalm is saying. Verse 18, those who make them are like them, and so is everyone who trusts in them. Many people do trust in their images, in their icons, in their superstitions, but it is all so, so empty. There is no greatness there. Greatness is only to be found in the Lord God of the Scriptures. There are alternative gods, but you're not to praise them. You're to praise the Lord and him only. And then the last thing is to keep on praising the Lord. At the conclusion in verses 19 to 21, the house of Israel, the house of Aaron, the house of Levi, and all who fear the Lord are called upon to bless the Lord. We're told that the Lord who dwells among his people is to be blessed by all those among whom he dwells. All are to praise the Lord. And so it will be forever and ever. The Lord will be forever praised among his people. And the praises that we can offer here and now in this life are a foretaste of the age to come. At present, we grasp a little of the greatness and of the goodness of the Lord. But in the age to come, when those whom Christ has saved are gathered with him forever, we will have renewed eyes. We will have renewed understanding, we will have enlarged hearts, and we will have an appetite for the praise of the Lord that is much, much greater than that which we have at present. And in that eternal age to come, we won't need to be reminded to praise the Lord. But for now, we do need to be reminded. And God sees fit to put in his book a chapter like Psalm 135 to remind us, to command us to praise the Lord. If you're going to do one good thing today, let it be that you praise the Lord. That, as it says in verse 3, that you sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. And the scriptures speak about how the praises that God hears from the lips of his people, they're like the sweet-smelling aroma of a sacrifice as they rise up towards God. And it is a pleasant thing to God to hear his name being praised. God delights to hear his name being praised, to hear his greatness being declared. And so the psalm tells us that we are to praise the Lord. We are to praise our good and our great God. Amen. Well, we sing then the second half of the psalm, stanzas 7 to 12, Psalm 135. The tune we use this time is Ernan, number 12. So Psalm 135, and singing from stanza 7 through to the end. Stanza 8 says, because the Lord's own people all will his sure vindication know, and to all those who serve him, he will also his compassion show. And the last stanza, O may the Lord's name now be blessed, from Zion now him praise accord. All you who in Jerusalem dwell, O render praise now to the Lord. Now is the time to praise the Lord. Let us unite in his praise. Tune number 12, we stand to sing and remain standing for the benediction.
Thank you. I receive God's blessing.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.